Your brothers and sisters, good morning. And Merry Christmas. I want you to take a moment to think of your best Christmas memory. And if you can't figure out which one your best one is quickly, don't worry about it. Just think about any good one. Okay? Just think about any good Christmas memory. But don't just think of it in the abstract. Put yourself in it. Where were you? What did you see? What did you smell? What did you feel? We do a magnificent job when it comes to Christmas. We shape our entire world. We shape a whole environment with trees and lights and wreaths and holly and poinsettias and carols and Christmas food and Christmas laughter. Gifts under the tree. Sweaters that we wear. Not today, but you know, normally. We think about the nativity scenes. We think about the nativity pageant our young children did last night. We think about all the ways that Christmas is sweet and bright and beautiful. And we associate that so much with the birth of Christ that I think we forget that his actual birth in history wasn't like that at all. At all. He was not born into a bright, beautiful, sweet world. He was born into a mess of tragic proportion. And that's going to be important for us to remember. I'll circle back to that. But I want to have you, after you've had that good memory of Christmas, oh, this is nice, one of my best memories of Christmas, I want you to now try to picture, as best you can, what it was actually like. Because I think we tend to whitewash or tend to turn it into pastel or tend to turn it into a Hallmark movie. I want you to think about what it was actually like at the time of the birth of Jesus. I'm going to walk you through this. First of all, the political situation. About 100 years before the birth of Jesus, the Maccabean rulers had petitioned to Rome for help from an invading army. And so Rome sent military aid, and the aid never left. They just left an army there. The army that they asked to help them survive being conquered ended up just staying and conquering them. And by the time Jesus was born, they had a king, Herod, who was very wealthy. He was actually in the cosmetics market. He made perfumes and makeup, and exceedingly wealthy. He wasn't Jewish, and he was on the throne of Israel because he was a puppet king. And the Romans were, the high priesthood was supposed to be like the Pope. The high priesthood was supposed to be the highest office of the Jewish religion that came from Jewish tradition and Jewish law. And the Romans didn't care. They sold the high priesthood to whoever they wanted year by year. And today in the gospel, we hear something we're familiar with. Oh, Joseph and Mary had to go to register for a census in Bethlehem. I want you to think about how horrifying that is. The reason the Romans asked for a census is that they were about to start taxing the Jews and drafting them into their army, even though the Jewish kingdom was on paper independent of Rome. There were so many outlaws, brigands. The Bible calls them robbers, people who we would call today insurgents and terrorists, that were running through Israel. Freedom fighters, you might say, and who would blame them? I want you to think about the fact that under the iron heel of Rome, Joseph and Mary had to travel a distance that was roughly between Shreveport and here on foot, with Mary being pregnant, had to do it without any kind of home security system or locks on their doors. Nobody could afford locks back then. And they knew that they were joining all kinds of refugees, or not refugees, all kinds of migrants, or people who were on the move to go be registered, down in Bethlehem, or Jerusalem, which is nearby, while tons of people who didn't live in Nazareth were being compelled to go up to Nazareth. Now guys, I just want you to think about this, and this is strictly just a historical point. I'm not trying to be sly here or anything. I want you to really think about what the situation was that Joseph and Mary faced. They left their home. They knew they'd be leaving their home for at least weeks. They knew that tons of strangers were coming into Nazareth. Did they really expect they'd have a home when they came back? Did they really expect that Joseph's tools would still be there, that any money they saved and hid would still be there? And did they not know that walking this long journey over one of the only two roads that lead from Galilee to Jerusalem, that they'd be in threat from armed robbers all the way down? Joseph tending his pregnant wife. And when they get to Bethlehem, you know the story, there is no room for them at the inn, or no room for them anywhere, so they go to the stable. But we picture the stable, you know, it's very nice, it's this lovely little nativity scene that we have. One major mistake that we make, I've told you this before, one major mistake that we make is, think about Israel for a second. Lots of rain in Israel, is there? Not a lot of trees either. So guess what stables were not made from? Wood. If you stabled something, you stabled it in a cave. And that's where Jesus and Mary were, and Joseph. They were in a cave. We go to the cave now. It's under the ground of the church in Bethlehem. And they were there with animals, with a manger carved out of the rock, where they would have feed and water for the animals, and that's where Jesus was laid. But I was thinking about this yesterday, and again, I'm not trying to be inflammatory or anything, it was just the closest analog that I could think of. If we were to compare where Jesus was born 2,000 years ago to some reality today, I think the closest reality we have is in a tent city under an overpass, finding any shelter he could. That's where he was born. No trees, no lights, no holly or carols. He was born into our mess. He came to show mercy. And dear brothers and sisters, the reason that I want you to think about these things is not only so that we can picture the birth of our Lord, the saving event of our history in such a profound and concrete way, but also because it helps us understand what should be going on in our heart. As a priest, I cannot tell you how many times, 16 years, and I'm sick, I don't meet with people as often as other priests do, so I know that it's exponentially higher for others. I cannot tell you how many times I've dealt with people, tried to help people who believe that they have to have their life all figured out before they can have a relationship with Jesus. Who think that they have to have all their trauma sorted, their mind clean and clear, their life financially stable and, you know, looking like a sitcom from the 50s, who think that Jesus would somehow avoid them just because they're messy inside. Jesus demands that we be moral, or at least try to. He's not going to avoid us because we're messy. He's not going to hold himself aloof from us just because we don't have it all figured out, just because we have big emotions, just because we make stupid decisions, just because our life is falling apart. He wasn't born among poinsettias and reeds and trees. He was born into a mess, and he'll still come to meet us in a mess. We don't have to have it figured out before we come to meet him. And if this Christmas, I don't mean to project on anybody here. Again, this is just experience after a long time doing this. If this Christmas you feel like a failure, you feel like you're overwhelmed, you feel like you don't have the life that you see everybody posting on social media, if you feel like this holiday is not joy but stress, not mercy but judgment, if you feel that way, not least because family members are constantly criticizing your decisions. I mean, look, my family is still asking me when I'm going to find a nice girl and settle down. The reality is, it's a joke, y'all. The reality is, it's okay. Today is for you. The joy is the effect, not the cause. The sweetness, the light, the beauty is the effect, not the cause. We don't make our house perfect so that Jesus will finally come to us. Jesus is born in our mess, and he makes us merry. And he makes us merry. Now, if, on the other hand, you actually do have things pretty stable and figured out, if you're mentally balanced, that must be nice. If you are physically healthy, that must be nice. If you have, you know, financial stability and a warm, loving family, then I would encourage you, in particular, if you're one of those people who are, you know, compared to me, basically perfect, like Deacon Tim, if you're one of those people, right, then I would encourage you today to be the vessel of mercy. To go to people who we tend to have a subconscious urge to avoid. People who are hurting. People who can't hold down a job. People who can't maintain a relationship. People who make decisions that we roll our eyes at. People who are dramatic. People who are sick. People who are lonely. People who kind of scare us a little bit. And allow Jesus to come to them through you, as Mary allowed Jesus to come to us through her. In this holiday season, be a highway of mercy and joy to people who need it most. You can forget about them again on New Year's Day. No, I'm kidding, right? But the reality is, at least make an effort. At least make an effort, if you do have it figured out, not to avoid or hold yourself aloof from those who don't, but instead to be a highway of mercy to those who need it most. Today is a joyful day. Today is a saving day. But we need to make sure that we don't mistake the smoke for the fire. All that you see here is the effect of Christ's birth, not the cause. And no matter how messy you might be, today he wants to be born into your heart so that he might show you mercy and might make you merry. God bless you all.